Today we're coming from the 142nd Psalm. The 142nd Psalm. Psalm 142. Now, I shared a message on this same scripture years ago, but the Lord just laid it into my spirit that there's somebody who needs to hear this today. And quite often when I'm preparing a sermon, most of the time it's for me first. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's for me first. As we look at this psalm, the 142nd psalm, I will read it in its entirety. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him any trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily or privately or secretly laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass about me, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. That's Psalm 142. The topic, as you see on the back of your program, is praying through a cave experience. Praying through a cave experience. If you look at the heading, in most of our Bibles, it gives you a heading in the Psalms. And this one talks about a prayer of David when he was in a cave. Now, first of all, why was David in a cave in the first place? You see, caves are a good hiding place when you don't want to be found. Now, why did he not want to be found? Because the king at that time, Saul, was very jealous of him and sought to kill him. So he had to go on the run for about 7 years. He had to leave his job as the king's assistant, as the king's main man, because of jealousy. He had to leave his wife. He had to leave his best friend, who was the king's son, Jonathan. He had to leave everything, and he feared for his life because King Saul was trying to kill him. So as we look at the Psalm 139, 40, and 141, it talks about a different aspect of David while he was on the run away from Saul. In Psalm 140, he's asking God to preserve him. And in Psalm 141, he wants God to keep his heart from evil. And in this one, the 142nd Psalm, he's asking for refuge in the Lord. But he just so happens to be hiding out in a cave. Now, there is speculation that the cave he's talking about is the one found in 1 Samuel chapter 22 in Adullam. It might be talking about that cave, or he might be talking about another place he hid out. But he was in a cave. He was separated from those he loved. He was separated from his life, and he was separated temporarily. He felt like he was separated from God. Amen? Amen. That is a dangerous place to be, to feel like you are separated from God. Yes. At one point in time, Saul wanted David so bad that he had 3,000 men looking for him. He had bounty hunters looking for him. He had a price on his head. So he had to run away. It was Saul's obsession to get rid of David. Now, why was the great king, so jealous of David? Because David rose through the ranks. Yeah, yeah. David fought the battles that King Saul sent him to fight. And they celebrated in the streets. Uh-huh. And they said, David kills 10,000 while Saul kills 1,000. Saul got jealous. Uh-huh. He said, wait a minute, I'm the king. Why are they praising him while I'm the king? Don't they know that I'm the commander in chief? Don't they know that I'm the one who sends him where he goes? When I say go, he goes. Don't you know that the battle he fights are the ones I'm supposed to get credit for? He became very jealous of David. And David had to run. So as we look at this passage that David wrote when he was at a low point in our life, and regardless of how spiritual we think we are, we're all going to have some low points in our lives. Amen? You know, we might not be defeated, but we might be depressed a little bit. We will have those low points in our lives. And I have 4 points I want to lift up today about the nature of what David is going through. First of all, he was a distressed man at this point in time. That's the first point. He was distressed. Look at verse 1 of Psalm 142. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. I cried out to the Lord. Lord, where are you? Lord, help me. Lord, why is this happening to me? Lord, where is your protection? Lord, where is your comfort? Lord, where are you at this time? I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. With my voice, I pleaded mercy unto the Lord. Lord, don't you know what I'm going through, Lord? Lord, I just can't feel you like I used to, Lord. I remember, Lord, when I was called out to face Goliath the giant, I could feel your presence. I could feel your power, Lord. And I did what you wanted me to do, Lord. But right now, Lord, I'm in a dark place, Lord. Right now, Lord, I'm in a cave, Father. Right now, Lord. I don't know if I feel you. I think I feel you, Lord, but I don't know. It can't be my imagination, but I need you, Lord. I really do need you. He cried out to the Lord. When we are distressed, we cry out. We cry out and we pray that somebody will listen. And in verse 2, I poured out my complaint before him. Lord, I came unto you. The song says, have a little talk with Jesus. Talk about all your trouble. And he will answer by and by. So, Lord, I'm coming having a little talk with you. I poured out my complaint before him. Lord, I've been nothing good, and I've respected King Saul. I've been his humble servant, Lord, but I need you. I showed before him my trouble. I told him all about my trouble. He's in a dark place. He's in a dark place. But I had the thought of how much of our praying is complaining. How much of our prayer life is our complaint life instead of our praise life? Now, I'll be the first to say I've never had to hide in a dark cave. I've never had over 3,000 people looking for me. I never had a price on my head. I've never felt like David is feeling right now. But I think we all have dark cave experiences, even within our own selves at times. Whether we're under financial constraints or physical health constraints or whatever else we're going through, we are in dark places, relational complaints, and we take those to the Lord. God listens to our complaints.
Yes.
God listens to our complaints. You know, occasionally I'll have a product that I need to seek technical support on. And I will call, hoping to get some help, only to have to go through an automated process. Press one for so-and-so. Press two for this. Press three for that. Press four for that. Press star to go to the main menu. And if you need to hear this again, press eight. When all you want to do is talk to somebody, is hear somebody's voice. You don't want to hear the automation. And when you finally get through,
leave a message.
Leave a message. And we'll call you back. Or occasionally they'll say, we're experiencing a heavy load right now. If you don't mind, leave your phone number and we'll call you back when it's convenient. Sometimes you want to talk to somebody right now. You don't want to reach the complaint department or the trouble department only to find out that there's a whole line of people in front of you. If you do it online with the chat, they will tell you how many people are before you. Six people before you. Five people before you. I'm saying, forget it. I got to go to Bible study. I don't have time to be waiting for this. I will call back later. How many times in our lives have we felt that way in our relationship with God? That we are going through something and God, where are you now? I'm pouring out to you my complaint before him. I show before him my trouble. When we have trouble, we want solutions. When we have troubles, we want refuge. When we have trouble, we want release. When we have trouble, we want comfort. When we have trouble, we want it fixed. When we have trouble, he is distressed. He is distressed. But not only that, the second point, he is desperate. He is a desperate man. Look at verse 3. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knowest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they secretly laid a snare for me. He has two types of pressure here. He has internal pressure and he has external pressure. Internal and external pressure. Look at that. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me. That's internal pressure. My spirit is overwhelmed. My spirit is weakened. I am totally exhausted. But you know, external situations can contribute to internal pressures. And that's the cause of his symptoms. You know, when you go to the doctor and the levels don't look right, we got to find out what's causing this. What's happening in your life that's causing this? Do you have stress in your life? Tell me about your living experience. Tell me about your relationships. What about your job? Something's causing this. My spirit was overwhelmed within me. This is David we're talking about. Now, David, then thou knowest my path. You know my path. You see, my path is all about you, Lord. My path is doing your will. You know, the path that I follow, I know I must go through something. You know, there are easy ways and there are hard ways. And I often ask God, why can I go the easy way? But God says more is required of you. So therefore, you have to get some bumps. You have to get some knocks. You have to be bounced around sometime. You have to be places where your faith can only take you through. Just last week, I took a day off. And I went to the mountains, source of, you know, my comfort. And the funniest thing was this trail I went on. I was going to this waterfall. Nice, 80-foot tall waterfall. The path looked good. It was a mile path. 8/10 of the path was great. You could just walk along and have a jolly old good time. Now, I had done my research ahead of time, and I knew that the last 2/10 was rough. I got to the last 2/10 and I saw boulders. And I said, Lord, have mercy. Do I want to go any further? And they had, you ever been on a path where they build steps out of rocks they find? Yeah. And like these rocks, when you step on them, they don't stay still. They move. It's tougher. The further you go to your goal, it seems like it gets tougher. And they had built steps recently, but there must have been a few hundred steps you had to go uphill that were not easy steps. And I went up the first flight, and I got to the top, and I looked down, and all I could see was down, and I looked up, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw a piece of the waterfall. I'll be honest with you, had I not seen that piece, I might have turned around right then. But I saw the goal in sight. What does it say in your rearview mirror? Objects in the mirror? Maybe closer than it appears. Well, this was the opposite. Objects you see might be further than they appear. So I kept on climbing, boulder. The boulder. It got closer, closer, closer. And eventually I could hear the water running. And I said, I'm close now. But it was still not easier. But two things kept me going. Number one, I've come this far. I didn't come this far to turn back now. And honestly, the second thing was, if I'm going uphill and having this much trouble getting there, coming back down is going to be a breeze. Amen? So I made it to the top. And I had a good time to myself for about 20 minutes before others made it to the top. See, there's a lot of folks on the trail when it's flat. There's a lot of folks on the trail when it's easy. But the closer you get to your destination, the closer you get to where God wants you to be, it's going to be tougher to go. And on my way down, I had a good time. Because I was going down and others were going up, huffing and puffing. And I'm smiling. And I'm saying, you don't have far to go. The journey that you are on might have seemed easy during most of your life, but there will come a time where it will get harder. But my advice to keep your eye on the prize, to keep your eye on God. He is still there. Even if you only feel a portion of him, see a little bit of him. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. Lord, you knew the path I had to go on. And the interesting thing about my experience is I have two good friends that like to go with me. And none of them could have lasted on that path because that was not their path. That was my path. David is talking about his path. David is talking about the plans God has for him. For thou knowest my path. And you know, Lord, in the way wherein I walk, they have secretly laid a snare for me. Lord, you know my current situation. You know they're laying traps for me. All you have to do is look back to Psalm 140, verse 5. The proud, they have hid a snare for me, and cords, they have spread a net by the way. By the wayside. You know what? If you want to set a trap for somebody, you got to go where that person's going to be. Amen. You got to go along that person's path. As young men, how many of us built rabbit boxes or some other type of traps to catch something? And we had to put them where the rabbits were. We had to put them in the rabbit's path in hopes to capture a rabbit or wherever else we wanted to capture. The men were looking for David. They knew where David was. They had heard about where he was. And they knew the paths he had to take. So there were snares waiting for him. There were traps waiting for him. That's the external pressures, the traps. They had checkpoints along the road. They had all points bulleted out for David. But in verse 9 of Psalm 141, keep me from the snares which they have laid for me. Keep me from the snares that they have lay for me. So he's out of desperation. He is crying out unto the Lord. His spirit is overwhelmed. And look at verse 4 of 142. I looked on my right hand and beheld there was no man that would know me. And you know, it's interesting because this has a connotation of a legal perspective. Because back then when you were being tried in a court of law, your counsel was on your right hand. Your counsel was right there. The one who was charged with representing you was right there beside you. So he's saying, as I looked on my right hand, and there was no man who would know me. He suffered from loneliness. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. You know, when he killed Goliath, he was a national hero. He had a position on the king's staff. And he was the king's son-in-law, married the king's daughter. But then, when the king turned against him, his friends disappeared. His prominence disappeared. He had no one to defend him against his enemies. Yes, along the way, and you can see this all, if you look at 1 Samuel chapter 18 through 22, you can see this all play out. And at times he did have people with him, sometimes larger groups, 400 men, 600 men, he had larger groups with him, but he was still lonely. My refuge failed me. Now what is refuge? Refuge is a condition of being safe or sheltered from pursuit, danger, or trouble. My refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. He suffered from social loneliness and also from spiritual loneliness. Where is someone to care for my spiritual life, he's saying. Where is that someone who will pray for me, who will comfort me, who will hold my hand and tell me everything's going to be all right? So see, therefore, he was a desperate man. But I'm so glad that's not the end of David's story. Because he was also a discerning man. That's the next point. A discerning man. Verse 5. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion of the land of the living. I cry unto thee, Lord. Lord, I know what the symptoms are. I know what the troubles are, but I also know what the solution is, Lord. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion of the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. It takes a strong man to admit that it's very low. It takes a strong man to admit that they're spiritually weak at this time. I'm very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Here I am with a few folks with me, but yet over 3,000 are looking for me. The odds don't look that good. But God. But God. He discerned that the Lord was the answer to his prayer. So my fourth point is he was a delivered man. Amen? It's okay to be distressed. It's okay to be desperate. It's okay to be discerning. But in the end, you want to be delivered.
Amen.
Delivered man. Bring, verse 7, bring my soul out of prison. I'm in prison, meaning I'm not locked up in prison behind bars, but I can't go where I want to go when I want to go. I don't have the freedom to do what I want to do. Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass about me, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Now, he didn't say, bring my soul out of prison so I can regain my position. He didn't say, bring my soul out of prison so I can gain prosperity. He didn't say, bring my soul out of prison so that I may gain power. But he said, bring my soul out of prison so that I may praise you, Lord. So I may praise you, Lord. He wanted the freedom to praise the Lord as he wanted to. He wanted to tell everybody about the goodness of God. He wanted to tell everybody that God was his comforter. He wanted to tell everybody that God was his encourager. He wanted to tell everybody that God was his refuge. I want to praise thy name. When people say they want to come out of something, ask them what they want to come out for. Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass about me. The righteous surround me. What he's saying is, I'm tired of fooling with these heathens. I'm tired of fooling with the enemies. I'm tired that every corner I look around, there's somebody looking to get me. I need to be around my people again. I need to be around the righteous. I need to be around those who want to support me and pray for me and comfort me and be there for me. For thou shalt deal bountifully with me. What David is saying, Lord, through you, I know you can deliver me. Saul might have 3,000, but I got one. Saul might have 3,000, but I got one. I don't think Vegas would take on those odds, but I got one. And that's all he needed. For with God, he found fellowship. If you look further in the story, David's men came to him. With God, he found fullness. He staked his claim on what God was going to do with him. With God, he found so many things. You know, in our cave experiences, it is so easy to get depressed and downtrodden and think that we are less than we ought to be. Not too long ago, I was watching the movie about, you remember those Chilean miners that got stuck on the ground 7 years ago? It was a movie came out about it. And I remember it vividly because that's all that occupied the news during that time. It was 33 copper miners and gold miners. They got trapped 2,300 feet underground for 69 days. Just think, 2,300 feet. I don't want to even get caught 8 feet underground. 2,300 feet underground for 69 days. For 17 days, nobody even knew that they were alive. But they were in a pocket. They were in a relatively safe area underground. When the first notice came to them, it said, "We might not be able to get you out for 4 months because we got a lot of drilling to do." Yeah. Imagine being one of those 33 stuck underground in a dark cave that you cannot get out of. 69 days they were underground. And when they pulled them out, one by one, there was a great celebration. But I remember vividly, I was watching the news. It might have been a replay, but I was watching the news when they brought one man out who was their spiritual advisor, a man named Mario Gomez. And once he got out, they brought him up in the capsule. And he got out and took a few steps and he hugged a few people. And then he bent down to the ground with his head down. And I remember the commentator on TV was saying, "Oh, no, something's wrong with him." And I'm thinking to myself, "Oh, no, something's right with him. He has been in a dark cave and now he is released." Yes. He was thanking God for bringing him out of that dark cave where the world might see something wrong. God sees something right. And out of that, can you imagine being someplace like that for that long? Almost 70 days. What's the first thing you're going to do when you get out? He praised the Lord just like David did when he said, "Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name." We never know. In the midst of our cave experiences, we are so focused on the present and not on the future. I'm sure the last thing on David's mind was becoming one of the greatest kings in the land of Israel. He was shut out of the temple that he loved so much. But I doubt he thought that he would be the one to procure the material for the new temple in Jerusalem. God has a way of taking our temporary sorrows and turning them into permanent blessings. I'm sure that he could not imagine that his son Solomon would be the wisest man who ever lived. And I'm sure he didn't know that Solomon would fulfill his dream to build the temple that expressed the splendor of God. Yeah. I know David didn't know that when Matthew wrote his gospel, that his name would be prominent in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. I'm sure David didn't know that. But yet he overcame.
Amen.
Yet he gained his position. Yes, he gained his power. He gained his prominence. Because he chose to praise the Lord instead of praising himself. What's the lesson for us today is that we will have dark times. We just need to keep on praying. We need to keep on pouring our hearts out to God. It might look dim to us, but there is a future around the corner. There is a blessing coming soon. We can't see it. We can't imagine it. But we've come this far that we're not going to turn back now. If the Lord has brought you this far, do you think he's going to leave you right now in the midst of your depression, in the midst of your mess, in the midst of your distress? He will not leave you. He will be with you. It might seem hard to see him at times, or you might see just a little bit of peace of him. But remember, he is with you, and he will bring you out. Look to David. We know about David. If David was this low, then it can happen to us. But we need to be focused on the goal. focused on the glory, focused on Christ. God bless you. Yeah. Praying through a cave experience. Praying through.